Welcome to the ILTA podcast on the mobile attorney, a conversation with Fiona Stone, Mark Thorogood, and Dan Houck. I'm Ginevra Saylor, National Director of Knowledge Management at Dentons Canada. I'm happy to introduce to you our three guests. Let's start with Fiona.
Hi, I'm Fiona Stone. I am Assistant Analyst at Perkins Coie. I support a number of litigation applications, and I also support a couple of major cloud-based storage systems at Perkins.
And I'm Mark Thorogood. I'm the Director of Application Services at Perkins Coie, which is the Council of Great Companies. I'm an ex-commercial fisherman. I would have been a rock star, but I have no talent. So I'm here talking about technology today.
I'm Dan Houck. I'm an attorney. I practiced for about 7 years doing complex commercial litigation and antitrust litigation and counseling. I left to start ThreadKM, which is a knowledge management suite of tools and applications to help attorneys manage their information, their projects, and communicate and collaborate better together.
It's great to have you all here to talk about this very interesting topic of mobility. So to get us started, why don't we look at how we got to where we are today? And maybe we could start with Dan. Could you walk us through the evolution of mobility in the practice of law?
Sure. I can certainly talk about my own experience with it. When I got started practicing kind of in the mid-2000s, I think most firms, including my own, were pretty firmly entrenched in the BlackBerry era. Everyone had those click wheel devices, the monochrome screens, and it was interesting that it was a firm-issued device. And so, therefore, most people kind of carried around their firm BlackBerry device and then their personal cell phone. And the thing about that BlackBerry was it really only did email. It didn't do much of anything else. And so it trained us as attorneys to really think about working on the go as just email. And I think we still see a lot of that today, unfortunately. And, you know, that was, you know, something that was, you know, just generated because everyone had BlackBerries and that was the only thing that you could do. If you wanted to do something more substantive, you had to have that kind of desktop experience. All of the law firm software was on desktops, your document management system, your accounting and time and billing and those type of things. And so the challenge for the IT department was how do you bring that desktop experience home with the attorneys when they leave the office? And really the answer to that was just to basically almost tunnel in and give you that virtual desktop experience from a remote terminal or remote computer. And, you know, as we've started to develop new devices and everything, things that have touch screens and push notifications and so forth with tablets and phones and everything like that, it's been hard to bring and transition all of those desktop applications into where we are today. And I think that's really the struggle that a lot of law firms are facing now is trying to provide attorneys with the software that they need, but on the types of devices that the attorneys want to own.
Mark, Fiona, do you want to add anything to that evolution?
I would add that you not only see them bringing the desktop to the phone. Indeed, there are applications that are on the phones that are becoming close to what we experience on the desktop, but we're seeing a convergence between mobile, social, and the cloud, where really the computing apparatus now is this thing that is out there, is always available, and the phone gives you access to it. And the whole essence of mobility is to be able to move and work without restrictions and yet always be connected. In the prior days when we had a desktop, you were tethered to that location. Here you can operate pretty much autonomously wherever you're at. So it's kind of like a paradigm shift, and that's kind of interesting because when things shift that way and if people do not respond accordingly, what will occur is they may be displaced or they may be rendered irrelevant. So if you look at the works of Joel Arthur Barker or Clayton Christensen, when you see something change that markedly, you have to have a response to it. Otherwise, you may go the way of the brontosaurus. And that's what we want to talk about today is how those things are shifting and what is this convergence between mobile, social, and the cloud and what it means to the working attorney and how they can get prepared for this sea change, if you will.
That's actually a good step into my next question, which is exactly where are we today with mobility? And I'd like you to consider what you think every lawyer today must have in terms of ability to survive and remain competitive. Fiona, do you want to take a start at that?
Sure. I say that knowing what our users need and how they work is key. We're able to support them, providing them with the tools that work for them.
I would add that in addition to not only knowing what you need, but knowing why you need it, don't just get an app for the sake of an app. And when you do get an app, try to get one app of each type. I see a lot of people start to get confused and chase their tails because they might have 5 or 6 Adobe annotation readers and writers. You probably want to focus on one so you don't have this, it's easier to learn and understand and master.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that's a great point. I think having the place where the IT departments can add a lot of value is being that resource that people can go to and say, you know, I'm looking for a task manager. And most likely, the attorney has probably already played around with a couple of task managers or applications on their phone first. And so they might already know some things that are out there. And so if folks from IT can help explain why certain ones are better, particularly when you get into compatibility issues, I think that's one of the key things, particularly as you get into the larger firms and so forth, is being able to not just access your documents mobily, but access them from the database of record. You know, it's your document management system. Being able to pull up documents from that onto your tablet or other device and know that if you're making changes in it, if you're adding annotations into it, those are all being stored and preserved with the official document of record in the DMS.
So would you consider that a must-have, access to documents in the official repository?
Definitely. I think, you know, when you're on the road, and particularly now being able to access it from a tablet or a mobile device and knowing that you are getting the latest version when you pull it up, I think that's definitely a must-have. And, of course, if you are using a cloud provider, a lot of those tend to have apps already, if you're talking about Box or Dropbox, or I think NetDocuments has one as well. If you have kind of an on-premises solution for document management, oftentimes you need to kind of find the right tool to hook into your on-premises DMS so that you can see those documents in the same way you can with those cloud-based DMS.
Okay, how about if we move on to some of the nice-to-haves? What do you think most lawyers should consider adding to their mobility suite if they have the opportunity?
I would have one app that provides location reminders or sends notices if you don't leave a destination at a certain time. I know Google provides something like that, and I have a program that if I'm still at work past 6 o'clock, it'll notify my friends that I'm still at work and I might not make it to the party in time. Also, if at a certain location it says, oh, you're here, you need to go pick up some milk and bring it home. And these cues is something that helps us to be more effective. So when you're in the moment and you think about something, you can go onto these reminder apps and basically say, hey, when I am here, make sure you remind me of these things. And, oh, by the way, if I'm still here beyond a certain time, notify my circle of friends that I'm still there and I'm delayed. And this way you have a greater sense of connectivity with your social network, and you also have better situational awareness. Another app I would look at is apps that provide competitive or market intelligence. You always want to come off smart and polished and in the moment. And one app that I would suggest that people look into is Manzama. And I have Manzama on my phone. I basically program it to say, these three clients I want to follow. So when I'm talking with somebody from that company, I'll know what is being tweeted about them, what is trending, what is occurring in the news with regard to them, so I can engage these individuals in conversation. So those are the apps I definitely would recommend because it just makes people look smart and stay smart.
Fiona, do you have any you'd like to add to the mix?
Yes, I do. And I say for choices of applications, it would be those that would provide one with multiple functions, but yet to avoid owning so many different applications for different things that one would need. If there's an application that one would be comfortable in using, but be able to use it for multiple things would be key.
And have any of you seen anything out there in terms of mobility that you consider really cutting edge that if someone had it would set them apart from the pack?
There's a couple that I can think of. The first would be I've really been intrigued by a lot of the apps that have come out around time entry. I think that that is a huge issue because, like we've talked about, so many people are working in other places outside the office. So if your time entry solution is only a kind of desktop solution, you are kind of forcing the attorneys to start using other means to capture their time, whether it's just writing it down on a piece of paper over the course of the day or using some other tool that then they're going to have to translate all that information over to the firm tool. But if you have a time entry tool that is actually, again, connected to the firm's database of record for time management so that you only have to enter it once and you're capturing it at the same time that the work is happening, I think that's a very powerful tool. And there are some great applications out there. I think there's applications by Bellafield. There's one by Time, by Intapp is another one. And so I think those are great. And then, you know, kind of the next level of communication that we're seeing in the market is really kind of going beyond email and focusing more on team chat and collaboration outside of that constant email blast that I talked about earlier with the Blackberries. And there's a lot of tools in that space, including our own, but also ones like SharePoint, Yammer, and Slack and HipChat are kind of the new hot ones that a lot of businesses outside of law firms are adopting. But I think once they come to the law firm market, it's going to be a very exciting time.
I agree with Dan, and the messaging and team chat is very key because you want to be more collaborative. In the olden days, in the BlackBerry days that we alluded to at the beginning of this presentation, it was more of a person-to-person communication tool. It's me sending a message to a few people on a subject line, maybe a courtesy copy line. But what you really want to do is empower communities of practice where people subscribe to a topic of interest. And say in the tool ThreadKM, you can have basically people participating in a room and they can see a message come across. And it doesn't necessarily have to be addressed to that person. It's more addressed to the group. And then the group can collaborate on it. And you can have this serendipitous idea, this creative spark that would otherwise go unnoticed in an email. A lot of people in email, they might feel somewhat slighted that they're being left out. And I think we're moving from individual point-to-point communication and productivity to group productivity. And you're going to establish these networks. And those tools enable people to really participate in those communities of practice. And those applications will provide that digital commons, if you will, that digital cafe where people can socialize, and they don't necessarily need to be invited by name. And I think that's key.
I'd like to add to that, too. In addition to kind of opening the net to a lot of people, opening the topic to a lot of people, there's also a sense of timing. If you, if I receive an email, I may say, okay, I can respond to that later. But if it's a message or something people are already talking about now, my tendency would be to respond to that now.
And do you see any danger in providing that quick response? Anything people should be careful about?
I think we need to all be mindful of, you know, what we share at all times, but having to be able to share the information quickly gets you out there quickly and sparks, like Mark said, sparks other ideas to come up when it's being discussed.
Yeah, it's a brave new world. There's all sorts of dangers. You know, we'd be fooling ourselves if we said there wasn't. I mean, you could torpedo your reputation in an instant if you're not careful. And I think those social norms are being developed. You hear about it all in the news where people have destroyed their careers or gotten fired over something that they said that was somewhat thoughtless, or they didn't perceive it to be thoughtless at the time, but they were judged that way. So it needs to, it's going to require some, how can you say, some conditioning for people to develop those skills to communicate without risk.
Yeah, I think that's a great point and a great question. We face the same thing with email, right, with the reply all problem. And I know we all know somebody who hit reply all to the firm-wide message and sent something that they wish they hadn't. And with email, it's going to persist, right? It's almost impossible to call back. But what we're seeing with some of these team chat collaboration tools is it really introduces a kind of level of transparency and trust in the way that you're communicating that we haven't really seen before. And so that's why it's an interesting dynamic, although absolutely every firm is going to kind of adopt this technology somewhat differently, and the kind of norms that rise up around, you know, how they use it are going to be different from organization to organization.
Yes, and it also people need to be mindful that what they say in those forums are persistent, and it'll survive for years to come. It's not like something you can say now in just normal conversation and the memories will fade and you can recover from a misstep. You're leaving your digital DNA around all over the place, and that will be around. The half-life of that is much greater than it is in a typical conversation, and people need to become aware of that. I don't know if that is generally understood or it's becoming understood. But it's definitely something that people need to take to heart.
That's a good point. And we have kind of been talking about things on a practical level, so this is probably a good point to shift to strategy. And what would you suggest people who are involved in developing a mobile strategy for their attorneys consider?
I would advise the attorneys to look at their digital ensemble and how they put themselves out there and how they engage and go to the market. I would recommend that they look at their LinkedIn profiles and other profiles, and they make sure that it's very polished and it resonates with how they're talking to their clients. I would also recommend that they have something like TweetDeck, and that if they have good ideas, that they publish those ideas. Because if people don't hear what they have to say, they may assume that the person is unintelligent, that they don't have anything to say. And how people represent themselves and how they profile themselves, they need to be in it in order to win it. Not to sound cliche, but I think that's the truth. So I would basically recommend to people to really engage this mobile, social cloud world that's coming to be and teach them how to really represent themselves in a way that's very seductive to the marketplace.
Dan, do you have any advice for firms or people who are involved in developing a mobile strategy for a group of attorneys?
I think Mark hit the social side of it really well. I think on the kind of app and kind of productivity side of it, the biggest issue or piece of advice that I would have is really to understand what the kind of limits for realistic adoption are for most attorneys. I remember an experience a couple of years ago being with someone from the IT department, and he was showing me how on his tablet he could log in to the firm system and kind of open up the DMS and navigate to an Excel file and edit the Excel file, and the whole demonstration took about 5 minutes to do. And I remember thinking, there is not an attorney that I know who will go through this process. And so you really have to think about what is it that in the heat of the moment, whether it's in court or with a client or, you know, kind of a last minute thing where the attorney is really going to go through this process on a mobile device, you know, where the ease of use is there so that they're not just going to instinctively go to the email and say, hey, can you get me this document? Because even though technically I can do it, it's just too challenging.
I totally agree with Dan. I think keeping it simple is essential. You always have to dial them into the channel with them. You know, what's in it for me? And look at some convenience apps. I know it sounds a little cheeky at first, but if you want to have adoption and you want to get people accustomed to using these tools, things like maybe the Starbucks app and showing them how to use that so they can order their coffee on their way to the store. And I know there's a lot of coffee drinkers out there, so that's something that's going to appeal to people. Apple Pay, so that they can pay for things without all the hassles. Or maybe a password manager, so they can log into multiple systems without having to remember all these cryptic passwords. But if you look at those convenience apps, that's one way to drive adoption, and I think that would be key. And then also look for the apps that will provide a lot of utility, whether they just have something for taking notes that's simple to use, or a dictation tool, or if they do a lot of travel, have, you know, a translation tool where they can just scan some text and it'll show them what it is in their language. So those things that is very simple and also very useful, and be very pragmatic and realistic about it, because like Dan said, if you overthink it, if you have a 5-minute demonstration where most people are accustomed to tweets where they're trying to get the message across in 15 seconds, you've lost the audience. You're beyond their boundaries of patience. So you have to be very mindful of those things and operate within those limits, and I think that would be a helpful way to approach the end users.
And I'd like to add something to that too. You know, being in the IT group, we're able to influence and guide our users, and they do trust, you know, their IT folks. So if we could guide them, provide them guidelines, best practices, they would like that. And also we could look into what are the things that, what are the apps that they use. If we could envelope or package those using our MDM solutions, then they'll be more comfortable, I believe.
Has IT found it challenging to keep up with all of the different apps that lawyers are choosing on their own to pursue? And do you have any concerns about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of concerns. Right now we have, within Perkins Coie, about 1,500 known applications, and those are the ones I know about. And it's kind of like if you see a bug, you're going to know that there's about 13 other bugs behind the wall. That's usually the rule of thumb that I apply. So there's all this stuff that's going on, and it's rather overwhelming. So you have to be very flexible, and you have to use what I know, a social network, because I know I'm not expert in Android. I'm an iOS person, but I do know somebody who's expert in Android. So if an attorney comes to me, I don't necessarily have to know the answer to that question. I just need to know someone who knows the answer to that question and make that connection, and we're all good. But it seems like a tidal wave. The number of applications, even 1,500, the ones that we do know about, seems unmanageable. And they're downloading stuff every day. So it's a different philosophy you must take to the table, where before it could be controlled. Now it's something that is like, oh my gosh, it's beyond control. Any concerns, Dan?
Well, I think, no, that's exactly right. I think the biggest issue that we deal with when we're talking to law firm IT departments is their concern over the kind of information fragmentation that can happen. I think there's a lot of desire, and really the kind of one of the key tenets of knowledge management is to be able to collect and consolidate and make available all of the knowledge that the firm is generating. And so if it's kind of spread out across, you know, hundreds or thousands of apps, and that everyone's kind of using their own tool to kind of manage all of their different tasks and activities, then it can be very challenging to start to, you know, number one, share that information across the organization and then to reuse it. And so picking out apps that play nicely together, I think, is always going to be a challenge, not just in law, but in pretty much any type of business. But I think, you know, that's certainly something that we've seen a lot of, being a difficulty with the proliferation of apps that are available.
So shifting gears a little, where do you see mobility fitting in on the whole question of work-life balance? Do you see it as an enabler, giving people back time, or encroaching more and more on their private space?
I have seen both. In one instance, I see where people can download their bills that they need to edit before they become final, and they can download it to their iPad and take it on the bus, and then edit their bills on the bus or do work on the bus, where before they would have to wait until they get home, then log back into a remote desktop session and complete that activity, which would cut into their family time. I also seen other people who are workaholics, and they'll just use mobility to do even more work than they would typically do otherwise. My recommendation is that if you use it prudently, it can give you back time. What used to be slack time when you were traveling, when you were waiting on something, you can make use of that time and then claw back some of it so you can spend more quality time with the people that you love or doing the things that you love doing. My recommendation is don't become a fuse. You have to have balance. If you get out of balance, you'll just be in the circuitry until so much voltage crosses through you that you'll just burn out.
Fiona, do you have any thoughts on this?
I do, yeah. I like the balance. And at the same time, you know, with being mobile, you're able to be out there present to, say, a function for your children and have the ability, say, you're waiting for a call to be there that you'll be able to catch that call, but also not waiting away from that event. You know, you have that presence, but then, again, keeping the balance that, yes, you're there, be present, but also having that ability to respond to a need.
I'd like to ask each of you to consider where you think we're headed with mobility in the next 5 to 10 years. Where do you see this all leading?
I think one of the biggest things that we're going to be seeing from a kind of hardware standpoint is the phasing out of desktops and traditional phone systems. We're going to have a lot more mobile tools that are actually powering our day-to-day business tools like, you know, your desktop environment and so forth. If you've seen the new MacBook that Apple just released, it has the USB Type-C connector, and that connector actually carries everything from power to audio to video. And I think it will be very much expected to see that port integrated into future mobile devices so that you'll basically just need to plug into a monitor and, you know, you'll have a Bluetooth connected keyboard and so forth. And that, you know, your device, your phone or your tablet will be able to power literally pretty much any application that you're going to need to experience. And then on the software side, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I think email has kind of been, we've reached the limits of what people can do, and people are really burning out as far as the amount of email traffic that they're getting. And, you know, there's other collaboration tools, and we've seen it in other industries. You know, in business and sales, Salesforce has become kind of the platform to do work on. We have electronic medical records. We have, you know, things in other industries that have become kind of the right platform to do work on. And I think legal is going to move away from email as the platform to more collaboration-based tools.
I agree. I think we're going to move more from individual to group productivity. You'll see mobile where I think the desktop is dead. No one really wants desktops anymore. They want something that can either fit in their purse or their backpack. It's not so cumbersome, and that they can do work wherever they're at. I also see that a lot of the systems are going to move from inside the firm to outside the firm, so we can basically collaborate across companies with our clients on matters instead of right now we keep a lot of data inside until we have the final copy, we throw it over the fence to the client. You'll see a lot more ad hoc social networks where people come together in small teams, maybe 12 people, and these establish an ad hoc community of practice to solve one matter. People will become more social. Their external profile and how they engage in this external space is going to become more essential. And they got to make sure that they can collaborate and keep their ensemble together without doing something that's going to be detrimental to their career. So I think it's going to be a sea change. And what we're used to of just basically having the desktop as a tool, we're going to be connected into this greater grid where it doesn't really matter where you are. You can come together instantaneously with other people of an interest to solve a problem, and not just as an individual but as this eclectic group. It's going to be very interesting, but we're going to have to remain very pliable because what got us here will not be able to get us there where we're going. And a lot of people who can't make the change, their relevance will be diminished. The other people who can make the change, I think they'll prosper.
Fiona, where do you see us heading?
I see us as, saying the IT group, having to support and what people choose that they like and are comfortable in using. So they'll pick what they want and us, you know, adjusting to allow them to do that so that they're comfortable and be more creative and productive.
The concept of the democratization of the appliance is very interesting. I remember a couple years back, a lot of law firms were about this concept of a locked-down desktop. This is anything but. Now people have the choice. They're bringing their device to the table as opposed to we're furnishing them the device and we're going to tell them what applications they're going to use. Our biggest challenge is going to be able to integrate this all together because we're not just integrating systems within a firm. We got to integrate systems now across firms and to our clients and across clouds, and we're going to have to bring those clouds together. I think that's going to be very challenging. It's going to be a whole new set of problems we need to tackle, and I don't think we really have the technology yet to deal with it. We're going to have to create it as we go.
And what about security and all of that?
Well, I think what Mark said just really touched on a lot of it, and we've mentioned it already. It's this idea of the fragmentation of information across systems. It's very hard to manage and to be able to certify that you have all the data related to a certain matter, all the data that you receive from a certain client, if it is spread out across a lot of different systems. And so that the IT department or the firm itself can't really see where that information is. And so, I think that's kind of one of the biggest challenges that firms are facing.
Well, this has been a really interesting conversation, and I just want to give each of you the opportunity to leave our listeners with a final thought. So, Dan, there's one thing you'd like to leave our listeners with today. What would that be?
I would just say take a hard look and really push the attorneys that you're working with or your colleagues and so forth to get a real strong understanding of what their mobile experience is. What are they really doing? And even if that means, you know, not just asking them in an email or sending them a survey, but actually going to their office, watching how they work, seeing where their frustrations are, and starting to be able to piece together solutions that you may be able to see. But oftentimes the attorney doesn't. If there's anything that I've learned from the experience of going from an attorney to a software company, it's that, you know, engineers and IT departments, they think kind of differently than attorneys do most of the time. And so putting them together in the same room, you can really come up with some interesting and innovative solutions that both sides working independently will never reach.
Mark?
I would say be curious. Make friends with some geeks and tinkerers. Look at things. Things are changing. They're going to change rapidly. Keep checking back. There's a lot of wonderful sites out there where you can go to that will show you what are recommended best apps for the legal industries and how to use the apps. Develop those skills, knowledge, and abilities in order to master this new technology that is going to be part and parcel to everything we do in the future.
And Fiona?
Yeah, I say, like Dan said, push the comfort zone a little bit out there and, you know, to Mark's point, manage your network, know who, you know, be with the people, contribute with them to their ideas, and have that community be available to you and be a part of that community. You know, just what Dan said, too, as far as, say, with regards to what people need, it's important to also know what other people around you are doing, and for us in IT to know what, say, a group, how they work, how an individual work may be different from someone, and it may not complement each other. So knowing and introducing each other's workflow to each other and having and guiding them with one that will work for the team may be good.
Well, this has been a great conversation, and I know that our three speakers have put together a list of recommended applications that is also available to you, and we encourage you to look at that list and experiment with some of the more interesting ones, see how they fit into your suite of mobility applications. Finally, I would just like to thank the speakers for this really engaging conversation. Fiona, Mark, and Dan, thank you. I know I've learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will feel the same way, so thank you.